please.
Well, thank you very much, Scott Spears, our program manager, for another outstanding performance of the latest headlines and news from the great Marion area that we broadcast from. Yes, this is the Adam the Computer Guy radio show live in Marion at the Marion Center Mall. And, of course, every Tuesday, right after the 9 a.m. features, the news, the weather, teasers from past, present, and future shows, and messages from our valued sponsors and friends and underwriters. We get together to talk today's top technology topics. And my name is Adam Lepp, also known as Adam the Computer Guy. Hey, give me a call. I am live in the studio. Ask me a question about your computer in your home, office, your pocket, your car, what have you.
740-383-9944.
Love the cool things we can do, we can do, we can do. We love the cool things we can do on our computer.
When you need to talk technology, no one gets you more gigs in your hard drive than Adam. It's time for Adam the Computer Guy with Adam Lepp.
Not a bad-looking day outside, a little on the wet side. But, you know, it's warm in the 50s, and that's a good 15, 20 degrees warmer than it should be this time of the year. So not complaining whatsoever. If you're a new listener to the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, well, welcome aboard. You may say, well, who is this Adam guy and what do we do during this show? Well, that's a very good question, and I'll answer that for you. We talk about technology, everything from smartphones to self-driving cars, autonomous cars, sports or politics, and how it influences social media and computers and the technologically dominated world that we live in. We also talk about keeping your computer safe away from viruses and hackers and identity thieves and all that bad stuff. I provide my opinion on some of the latest products and maybe some news from the world of technology and how it shapes the world that we live in. Again, being in 2017, our world is very much dominated, influenced by technology. And we discuss how all those things intermingle, if that's a word, intermingle. One thing we do during this show, usually on the Thursday edition, but sometimes on the Tuesday edition, and of course it is Tuesday, is I broadcast a live Facebook video of the show. Thank you, Dan, in the Capital City, for watching my video. Longtime friend and business associate. Much appreciated. How about that? We can broadcast anywhere in the world by the power and magic of social media. You can watch me sit here in the studio doing the show. You might wonder, if you're watching, why am I wearing a jacket when it's somewhat warm outside? Well, we have an ongoing issue with the heat in the studio, but I think the idea is that we just preserve better if it's a little bit cooler, and that's okay. Speaking about the recent death of an idol of mine, Mary Tyler Moore, of course, her co-star on Rhoda, when she got her own show and moved back to New York City in search of romance and other stuff, she would say that she went to Minneapolis because she thought she would preserve better because it was cold, and I guess that kind of happens here in the studio. Yes, I preserve quite well. In the slightly chilly but otherwise very comfortable confines of the WWGH radio studio here at the Marion Center Mall in the historic city of Marion, Ohio. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening. Watching me on video, it's always appreciated. Again, feel free to call with any questions or comments, concerns, complaints that you might have. Live in the studio, 740-383-9944. So, speaking about technology and politics, how they go together, intermingle in good and bad ways. We have not had a female in the White House, even though there have been multiple attempts, and last election was somewhat close, but the Donald prevailed. I think at some time there will be a woman president, and I think that'll be quite cool, and look forward to having that in the headlines at some time in the future. Certainly since you might ask, well, where am I going with this conversation? When it comes to Adam, you know, there'll be a wisecracker, maybe something factual, or who knows? Well, when I went to college back in the olden days, I was a chemistry major and took a lot of computer courses, of course, and there were not a lot of women in these sciences and math fields, and I've always found that to be disturbing, as I don't understand why chemists and physicists, mathematicians and programmers, why that's considered to be such a masculine field. Attorneys, for example, in many law schools, most of the students are women, and we no longer think of a lawyer as being a man's job. It's, in many cases, somewhere around 50-50, of course, depending upon the field and the area, or in terms of education, which law school. But there still are not a lot of women in science, in IT, as computer programmers, and that, I think, has become rather stubborn to change, and rather slow to change. Okay, I guess that's a better word. And feel free to call me, because I like to talk about this topic from time to time. What do you think about that? Why are there not a lot of women who are computer programmers and IT people? 740-383-9944. There is an organization called Girls in Tech, or GIT, G-I-T. Their CEO is Adriana Gasquagne. I think I'm pronouncing that right. That's a really nice name, Adriana Gasquagne. She is the founder and CEO of GIT, Girls in Tech. And they're a global nonprofit organization whose mission is to engage, educate, and empower girls who are passionate about technology. Again, to try to get more females in the computer programming and IT field. I think we need to do that. Founded in 2007, Girls in Tech claims 60 chapters with upwards of 50,000 members worldwide. The organization's focus is not just on women in professional roles. It also offers support to anyone with an interest in technology, providing women with a platform for growth in the IT field. Gasquagne spoke about the organization's purpose, its accomplishments, and its hopes for the future in a recent interview. She was asked, what inspired you to start Girls in Tech, and what is its mission? Now, she said, I was working at a startup and was one of the very few women there. I'd look around the room every day and see that there was a huge problem of representation. I knew we needed to change the culture of the company to recruit more women and benefit more women. But we also needed diversity in product development. She said, if you have a diverse team, your product is going to be more successful. I think having a diverse group of people helps you to make a better product in the end. And I was striving to create a more diverse team so our customers could benefit from the end product. Again, this is an interview recently conducted with Girls in Tech CEO and founder Adriana Gasquagne, and she was discussing about how to attract more females to the technology field as IT people, computer techs, like what I do, programmers. Well, I program also, and I'm seeing that it's still a man-dominated field, and I, as I said, don't really understand why, especially when fields like law are now almost split 50-50. To me, a lawyer is more of a masculine job than a computer programmer. But let me know what you think about that, because it's certainly an interesting topic. Again, we've seen three women run for president or vice president in my lifetime with a major party. None have been successful, but the last election was fairly close and still has a lot of controversy attached to it. So why aren't more women computer programmers and IT people majoring in computer science and software? Hey, give me a call. Let me know what you think. 740-383-9944 or leave a comment on our Facebook page. Become a fan of us, WWGH 107.1. So anyway, Adriana Gasquagne, again, the founder of Girls in Tech, looking to get more women attracted to the technology field, said, the mission is still the same. Our ideals are empowerment, engagement, and education of women in STEM, again, science, technology, electronics and math, or does E stand for engineering? Actually, I think it kind of stands for either one. So STEM and tech. It's one of those multifaceted acronyms. We focus on providing skills and a network so that women can succeed in whatever they want to do. We want to serve as a support network and provide advanced skills and a learning environment so women can be exposed to different opportunities throughout their careers. A women's career path takes many different directions. We want to make sure that we have the resources, educational platforms, and network to support women at many different stages of their career, and that they have the mentors and role models to follow. So again, Adriana Gasquagne is the founder and CEO of Girls in Tech, looking to get more females into the technology, IT, programming line of work. And I think that that's a wonderful thing. Again, give me a call. Let me know what you think about this. 740-383-9944. Girlsintech.org is their website. Do check it out. Adam Lepp here, the computer guy, with my twice weekly radio show here on The Talking Place, broadcasting live 24/7 from Marion, Ohio. WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial. And again, broadcasting online by the power and magic of the internet, WWGH1071.com. And last but not least, you can watch me live on Facebook video. If you're a friend of mine, that would just be fantastical. Is that a word, fantastical? Just go to my Facebook page. Look for Adam Lepp in Ohio or Adam the Computer Guy. And you can go ahead and watch me perform the show live. If you're not already a friend of mine, well, that would be wonderful, because I wish we could become friends and have a virtual conversation. Because, you know, that's the kind of guy that I am. Put a request in. Let me know that you listen to the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. Also, I'm going to go ahead and share the video, so you can see me typing right here if you're watching, with our radio station Facebook page, WWGH in Marion, Ohio. Be sure to become a fan and follower if you're not already, because that would really be cool with a capital C. Or is that cool with a capital K? Coming up after me, it is a community activist, a person with a great bunch of opinions and insight. And also, he is a basketball player. He does many things to better our community. His name is Edward Thomas McCants, or we just call him Ed McCants. And his name might be McCants, but he can provide a great radio show. Yes, Ed will be on shortly after the 10 a.m. features, coming up in about 45 minutes or so, with Marion 2020, a show with many topics. Also, he is working on stopping the drug epidemic in Ohio. It's a serious problem. Ed is doing a lot, has done a lot, will do a lot to help with this serious problem. So feel free to call in. Leave us a message or comment on our Facebook page, and don't miss the show. Coming up right after me, Marion 2020 with Ed McCants, here on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH1071.com and WWGH on your FM dial, 107.1 FM. All right. FM stands, of course, for frequency modulation. But as I say, it stands for fantastic and marvelous radio, because that's how we roll here. Of course, there never seems to be an end to the political discussions, especially since the new administration took office, and how it has an effect on technology. Senator Ron Wyden, he is from Oregon. He has a long history of involvement on security and privacy issues. So what is he going to do? He says he plans to introduce a bill soon that would require border agents from prevent border agents from forcing Americans returning to this country to unlock their phones without a warrant. He said in a letter to the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security that he is concerned about reports that Customs and Border Patrol agents are pressuring returning Americans into handing over their phone, pins, or using their fingerprints to unlock their phones. John Kelly, The Department of Homeland Security secretary has said he's considering the idea of asking visitors for the login data for their various social media accounts, information that typically would require a warrant to obtain. Senator Wyden, again, he's from Oregon, said, circumventing the normal protection for such private information is simply unacceptable. There are well-established procedures governing how law enforcement agencies may obtain data from social media companies and email providers. The process typically requires that the government obtain a search warrant or other court order and then ask the service provider to turn over the user's data. So what do you think about that? Should you require to surrender your Facebook login and other social media login when you enter the country? Well, I would say unless there's a very compelling reason to do that. If you're a regular law-abiding person like myself, they have no business whatsoever requiring that. And even asking that, I'm very offended by. So let me know what you think. Do you agree with me? Do you not? Do you have another idea, an alternative to that? My number here at the studio. Give me a ring. I won't bite. 740-383-9944. Adam Lepp here, the computer guy, with my twice-weekly radio show on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 FM, and broadcasting on the Internet by the power and magic of the Internet. Yes, of web-based broadcasting. And, of course, we're also on TuneIn. WWGH1071.com. We are slowly learning. What are we learning? That while appliances connected to the Internet might be convenient, and that's called the Internet of Things, your smart homes, your smart thermostats, your smart lighting, all that kind of stuff, there's also a lot of room for hacking, and that's always the problem whenever you have this fancy technology. Can a hacker do something naughty with your smart home, which end up smart home wouldn't be quite so smart, with maybe your garage door opener that's attached to your phone, with your lighting, your appliances, your washer and dryer that's connected? Can a hacker do something bad? Well, unfortunately, they can. Smart TVs have been in the news for their ability to be hacked and their lack of security. But another serious problem has reared its ugly head: medical devices. We've talked about smart medicine, even a way that was demonstrated where a doctor can perform a virtual surgery. He or she can control a robot doing an operation with this kind of mechanical hand connected via very fast internet. Doctor doesn't have to be in the operating room. He or she can actually provide directions and provide hand movements that are mimicked by the robot doing the surgery. So a lot of fancy stuff, but of course it has to be secure. And we're finding out that medical devices can be infected, can be hacked, and that's obviously a very serious problem. There is a piece of malware called MedJack. MedJack has already infected hospital computer systems by way of insecure medical devices. Once inside, it runs free in the system, collecting information on patients, for example, to be used for tax fraud or identity theft. So, pretty serious problem. While modern computers and smartphones are hardened against hacking attacks, it's like viruses, trojans, and other malware, internet-connected appliances, again, the Internet of Things, smart refrigerators, Wi-Fi light bulbs, and printers, often do not have proper security. The manufacturers don't care, and the buyers don't care, so nobody bothers to secure them. Also, these devices rarely receive software updates to improve their security, and therefore, there can be a very serious problem with a backdoor. That is a way to get access to these devices and the private information that they are associated with. And that's how this malware called MedJack works. It targets the weak devices, and because they are connected to the rest of the Wi-Fi network, the attackers gain access to the data that is inside of them. And when it comes to medical device, that can include stuff that's protected normally by HIPAA, your personal information, your medical history, and maybe even your credit card numbers and social security number. So this MedJack problem is very serious. It's a, according to an article in fastcoexist.com, it is a terrifying example of an attack which seems to come straight from the pages of a science fiction novel. MedJack is designed to deliberately use old, outdated malware in its attacks. This helps it to avoid detection by any newer computers on the network. Once it has hacked a machine, it can run free, collecting medical information on anybody who has used that particular hospital or medical facility. And it's already everywhere. Anthony James, he is the vice president of marketing at security company TrapX. He told Wired magazine, "Every time we've gone into a healthcare facility to demonstrate our product, we unfortunately find that they're also a victim of this MedJack attack. Most of these facilities have no clue because no one is monitoring their healthcare devices for the presence of an attacker. No one is thinking about a CT scanner or an MRI machine and seeing a launch pad for a broader attack. So we're talking about medical equipment that's supposed to be so smart, but instead it's not too smart because it's getting hacked." And that's pretty serious. "A common next step is to hold the target hospital, the hospital that's under attack by this malware, to ransom. Medical records can be encrypted, for example, only to be unlocked in return for a payout. But a hack could also disable systems in the hospital. One well-known example of this happened in 2016. We talked about this on my show a few months ago. Computers at the Hollywood Presbyterian Medical Center in Los Angeles were offline for a week, and they had to pay $17,000 to get them switched back on. Now, these attacks are not limited to big institutions either. Hackers can attack an individual's medical implants or devices. And you might ask, well, what is that called? Well, that's called brain jacking. And it's considered such a big danger that both the FDA and the U.S. Department of Homeland Security have issued warnings on this. And it's called brain jacking. And as the name might suggest, that's a rather serious issue. Brainjackers can take control of brain implants, as well as a pacemaker that is connected by Wi-Fi, or even an insulin pump, and hold the hosting person hostage until he or she pays a ransom. And again, this can affect your brain implant, pacemaker connected by Wi-Fi, or even your insulin pump. And again, these attacks now usually require that the attacker be physically present near the victim. But as more and more devices are connected to the internet, that requirement will vanish. So again, even a medical device implanted in your body can be a victim of ransomware, and that's pretty serious. Now, obviously, the way to fix this is better security, but that won't happen until the users demand it. So who are the users in this case? Doctors probably don't want to add an IT administrator to their list of duties, and patients usually just trust their doctors to prescribe the right thing. So according to this article, the problem is likely to get worse before it gets any better. Again, hacking into a medical device, hacking into a home's smart devices and a medical device where a doctor communicates with the patient or communicates even remotely with medical equipment. And as you can imagine, that's pretty serious. And I don't think a doctor should also be an IT administrator, but I think hospitals should be stepping up security and doing whatever is needed at any cost within reason to prevent this med jacking and brain jacking. So let me know what you think. I'd love to hear from you. I thank Paul S., Facebook friend and colleague of sorts in California, an expert on smart medicine, and a very smart man for providing this article link for me. Gave me a bit of chill down my spine. Would I want to have a pacemaker implanted with Wi-Fi that could be hacked, that could hold me for ransom? Well, I certainly wouldn't. And that's something that we need to pay rather close attention to, because as our society, of course, becomes more technologically oriented and dominated, these kinds of problems very likely will increase. So, hey, give me a call. Let me know what you think, or any other question that you might have. Comment, suggestion, what have you. I'd love to hear from you. You can email me anytime. And you know what? We have a private email server, as I say, just like Hillary. We have a private email server, and I'm the email administrator, so you know that it's going to be good. Adam@WWGH1071.com. Or you can message me on our station Facebook, or message me on my individual Facebook. If you're not already a friend of mine, I'd love to hear from you. Look up Adam Lepp in Ohio, or of course, just Adam the Computer Guy. I'd love to hear from you. And last but not least, I am broadcasting my show live on Facebook video. You can become a fan, a follower of our station, WWGH 107.1 in Marion, or again, look at the video via my own Facebook. Adam Lepp here, the Computer Guy, with my twice-weekly radio show on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH. Thank you so much for being part of our valued listening audience. Well, let's talk more about politics and how it intertwines with technology. Not unexpectedly, and we talked about this also last month, President Donald Trump's revised immigration travel ban. Again, he made some changes recently. It is not very popular in Silicon Valley, in the part of California where a lot of tech companies hang their hats. Yesterday, a number of technology executives spoke out against the president's new executive order, which imposes a 90-day ban on issuing new visas to immigrants from six majority Muslim countries, Iran, Syria, Yemen, Sudan, Somalia, and Libya. Iraq was removed. It will also suspend the U.S. refugee program for all countries for 120 days. 6 weeks ago, more than 100 companies opposed the original ban, including the big ones, Apple, Facebook, Google, and Microsoft. A judge in Seattle temporarily halted the ban, and the federal appeals court in San Francisco nearly a month ago decided against reinstating it. Now, that ruling was seen as a win for the technology industry. Over at Uber, the ride-sharing company, they said, "Our sentiment has not changed. President Trump's immigration ban is unjust and wrong. We will continue to stand up for those in the Uber community affected." Uber's competitor, Lyft, Logan Green, their CEO, said, "We will continue to speak out and take actions." They plan on meeting with the ACLU, and the ACLU said it intends to keep fighting the new order in court. Mozilla, they're associated with the Firefox web browser and the Thunderbird email program. Danelle Dixon Thayer, chief legal and business officer, wrote in a blog post, "A month may have passed, but it seems clear that little, if any, progress was made on the thinking behind this action." So what do you think about the travel and visa ban? And what do you think about what the technology companies have to say? I'd love to hear from you. You know, opinions, even on a controversial topic, a sensitive topic like this one, are always welcome. You can, of course, send me an email, adam@wwgh1071.com, or give me a call at the station. That really would be the best way, because I'd love to hear from you. You know, talking on the air, that's one of the cool things that we do on the radio. 740-383-9944. So we talked about security with the Internet of Things. I have a phone call, and I love when people call. Let me go ahead and pick up the phone and see who is on the line. Good morning. You're on the Adam, the Computer Guy radio show. Thank you for calling.
Adam, you're probably, your throat's probably getting rash from having to talk all the time.
Oh, no, that's okay. I always drink a lot of coffee, and I appreciate you asking, sir.
That's a requirement in the morning,
yeah, before
right?
coming on the air. And, you know, as Mrs. Olson said, it's Mountain Grown. The richest, most aromatic kind of coffee. And how are you doing?
You know, I might recommend there are some nice little space heaters you could probably use down there to warm it up.
Yeah, we actually have one, and the temperature has warmed to about 60 degrees Fahrenheit. My jacket actually is causing a bit of sweat here and there, and that's okay. As I said, Rhoda said the cool makes her, the coldness makes her preserve better, and I believe it's the same situation here with Adam. I preserve better and I speak better, and thank you very much, sir, for caring about the personal comfort of your radio staff.
Well, I'd hate for you that, you know, if you get frostbite on your hands, you're going to have a tough time typing.
Exactly, as well as controlling the board that I use for my show or even moving the microphone around, so very much so. But, you know, it seems like we didn't really get a lot of winter this year. I'm not sure what happened.
It suits me just wonderfully.
Yeah, it's, you know, a little wet outside, but I tell you, it feels like a spring rain. Even smells like a spring rain. The grass is getting a little green in some areas. And
I have flowers already come out.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, but that's
I do want to comment on your thing at the first of your show there about women. And I'm definitely in favor of more women going into tech, you know. It always used to be that they were sort of discouraged from it. They were told, you know, you're a woman, you don't know how to do math, you don't know how to do this and that. And so they decided that, well, they're telling me that, I guess that's right. And they were 100% wrong. I've got one son and two daughters. They're all doing quite well. And my one daughter, I swear, she works over at Rutgers. And I swear she knows more about the Internet and such than the guy that's supposed to be handling it over there.
Would you agree, sir, that there certainly are some jobs that we think as being more man jobs and more woman jobs? And what I would be lawyers. Right now, law is almost 50-50. And to me, I understand women make great lawyers, but that seems to be more of a masculine job than, say, a computer programmer. I don't fully understand that. Do you have any insight at all, maybe with your own experience with your own daughter?
Well, she's worked a variety of jobs. She's been over at for about 15 years now, and she actually coordinates grants from USDA. So they've had a drastic change over there, and I'll tell you, it was a nightmare. They just went in and obviously didn't look well. It's about as bad as what resulted in Obamacare, in that they weren't ready to make the change, but they did it anyway. And it was terrible. Half the time, the whole systems would go down for extended periods of time. And that had to be, they weren't vetted right or fixed right, but she knew how to work around some of them. She's one of the few people I consider super intelligent. But it used to be just the opposite for guys. The girls in school, when I'm 80, you know, that's ancient, but the girls in school, they had home ec. Guys weren't even allowed in their class. And I think every guy should know how to cook at a minimum.
I guess it's refreshing,
sir.
An older gentleman like yourself, and with very progressive ideas, and that's good to hear. I took home ec for half a semester when I was in school, and I thought it was fun. But I took shop also.
It's fun, and you can learn a lot.
But would you agree, though, that there are some jobs that would seem to be more oriented toward one gender, but it doesn't make a lot of sense. Again, nursing also is now
a big hassle. I work at the phone companies.
Yeah, I mean, nursing also has become more split men and women. When I was a kid back in the 60s and 70s, it was 95% females. yet we still find that tech is lagging. And again, obviously the women that are in technology are very, very good, like in your own example. But I think we need to do what is needed to put some more equality in that field, because I never really understood that. And we've seen a lot of changes
like
in other
occupations.
Like I say,
they were taught that, you know, you're a girl, you're not supposed to know this stuff. And that's absolutely wrong. I'm glad to see there are advances being made in that. I'm not sure it's a good thing to be a lawyer, but who was it? Shakespeare said something about first kill all the lawyers.
Perhaps. Well, law certainly is a field of some controversy.
Oh, I hate this, a lot of those ads and stuff. Like the guy who's showing that the driver was absolutely doing wrong and has a big wreck, and he tells how he got $100,000 for him. Come on, people. These ambulance chasers on TV, I hate them.
Right. I would certainly agree that there is controversy in the field, and right now, again, we have controversy in the White House and pretty much everywhere.
Oh, I hadn't heard about that.
Well, I think it's
I'm being a little facetious there.
Yeah, well, it's okay. Well, again, I call him the President Donald, and as I like to say, I find him rather entertaining, and I find his wife very beautiful. But again, whether it's a good entertaining or bad, I'll leave that up to the listener, as I like to ponder points and leave open-ended questions, because that tends to make things a little more fun.
And if you can't speak for both sides at one time, you know, you should know the ins and outs of what you're talking about.
And a lot of people talk about things that they really know very little about.
That's quite true.
We talked about Adriana Gasquanye, the woman who is working to get more women in technology. I guess you heard me talk about that. What do you think about her efforts? Is she doing the right thing? And
she is.
Moving in the right direction, then.
It should have happened a long time ago. Well, let's face it, some of the physical work, I spent 40 years in the telephone business, and there were very few women that it was in the mid-60s before they even had a woman actually work in the something other than operators.
Well, that's certainly interesting, because right now, I mean, phone companies, they're technology companies. AT&T, as I like to say, as you would know, they're a much bigger company now than before the divestiture. And I think they're more considered technology than the old-fashioned rotary dial phone that Grandma had, even though I certainly remember that.
Oh, yeah. But, the first couple women that actually tried for it, actually, they did quite well, and they gave them a chance. We had a supervisor who was a total jerk, and the first thing he did, this one girl said she just started. She hadn't been taught a lot of the stuff. The first thing he did was send her down to Marysville. Rathbone for the Girls Industrial School to work on their equipment down there. That's, you know, he only did it to try to you know, let her know that she didn't know anything and she should quit. That was wrong. That was the attitude a lot of the people took at that time.
Yeah,
a shame.
But I'm glad things are moving in the right direction. I guess only time will tell. Do you think that maybe, as I mentioned, we've had three females run for president or vice president and not been successful on a major party. Has that had an influence on women in technology? Do you think if Hillary was president or Ferraro or Palin would have won the VP, that we would have more women in jobs that have been traditionally held by men?
No, I don't think so. I think it'd probably, it's always a, well, it's even like integration of various jobs. We've come a long way on it, and we have a lot longer to go. But I don't think it matters whether a man or a woman's in the presidency. I personally didn't like Hillary because of a lot of the very treacherous stuff that she had done, and illegal but never called on it. And but there are some good women candidates out there. It'd be interesting to have someone like Warren in there. Of course, that would be more of a hassle than it is with Trump. I think she likes to really hop on people, even more so than Trump.
Yeah, she would seem to be a bit outspoken, but sometimes you have to be
very outspoken, but that's not a bad thing.
But again, as I say, sir, like Hillary, we have our own private email server. We don't delete any emails. I read every single one of them. And so feel free to email me anytime with questions or comments. I really appreciate you calling
in. Oh, just pick the phone up.
I'm sorry. Calling is great, too. Old-fashioned methods of communication work very well here.
Absolutely.
On the...
And you can get a tenor, too. You know, if somebody writes something, you don't know if they're kidding, if they're sitting there frowning or what they are. At least when you're talking to them, you get some concept of, you know, what's up.
I would definitely agree with that, sir. Well, thanks again for calling. Anything else you'd like to share with our audience?
No, nothing special.
Okay, well, thanks again. I appreciate your being a faithful listener to the Adam the Computer Guy show and the other programs on the station. Be sure to stay tuned after me for Marion 2020 with Ed McCants. And again, have a great day.
Bye.
Adam the Computer Guy here with my twice weekly radio show. Again, taking your telephone calls live in the studio. Again, a topic we've been bantering about today has been women in technology, women in fields that have traditionally been held by men, and our last caller had some great insights, and really appreciate it. 740-383-9944, still time to chime in. We talked about medical devices and the risk of them being hacked and suffering identity theft or ransomware, and that being obviously a very serious problem. Medjack and brainjacking are some new terms. And the Internet of Things, appliances that are connected via Wi-Fi or other networking methods. Yes, that would be the word. They can be hacked, and that, of course, is a serious problem if a hacker gets control of your connected garage door opener or your connected refrigerator or your smart TV, which ends up not being very smart. Nest, which is part of Google, they make the Nest Learning Thermostat, as well as some other products. Again, a smart thermostat. They've recently introduced two-factor account authentication, again, to increase security. This optional feature makes your devices more secure by requiring that you enter a unique verification code sent to your phone via text message, as well as your regular password, every time you log in. In October of last year, a widespread hacker-induced internet outage raised questions about the security measures smart home platforms employ to prevent such breaches. Now, Nest's two-factor authentication is only available on an opt-in basis, but the added layer of security should make it a bit more difficult for hackers to access your Nest account. So, Nest, makers of the smart thermostat, again, they're part of Alphabet, which is the people behind Google, again, a large company with lots more money and lots more smart people than myself. Anyway, they're working on making the Nest thermostat more secure, and I certainly applaud that effort. Again, security is the most important thing that we work on as technology people. Not the most fun and certainly not the most well-paying, but if information is not secure, then certainly it is hardly worth even worrying about. And we talked about even, again, medical devices being hacked, being subject to ransomware. Even your Wi-Fi connected pacemaker or insulin pump, even that is not necessarily safe from hackers. And that's a pretty serious problem, to say the least. Adam Lepp here, the Computer Guy, with my twice-weekly radio show, winding down the Tuesday edition. Thank you so much for listening. Much appreciated. Thanks to our caller with some great insight. Again, we've talked about many topics here, and if you have a suggested topic, feel free to email me, as I say, on our private email server, adam@wwgh1071.com, or, of course, leave a message on my Facebook or our Facebook page. If you're not already a fan, please become one. WWGH 107.1 FM in Marion. Yesterday, Scott Spears, he's on with Now, which of course is not on Now. It's on Monday through Thursday between about 10 after 12 and 2. He spoke with Marion native Nicole Lewis, and she was on the TLC series My 600 Pound Life. In case you missed that show, you can, of course, go to our website, wwgh1071.com, and You can download that show or listen to it on demand. We call that a podcast. In fact, we have pretty much every show that's been broadcast on this station since early January of 2016. Be it Charlie Evers, The Exchange Club, now with Scott Spears, and all of his fine celebrity interviews, and of course, yours truly. All kinds of information on technology, smartphones, phones that aren't quite so smart, etc. With me, Adam the Computer Guy. Dozens and dozens of my shows are available on our website. Check it out, bookmark it, listen to it, share it with your friends and family, and coworkers and neighbors. WWGH1071.com. Coming up in about 45 minutes, we have the 10 a.m. top of the hour features. News, weather, obituaries, starring, produced and voiced by yourself, by yours truly. Obituaries are on every day at 8, 10, noon, and 4. We also have teasers of past, present, and previous shows. And last but not least, messages from our important sponsors, friends, and underwriters. So that's coming up in a few short seconds. Adam Lepp saying goodbye. Thank you very much for listening. It's much appreciated. Thanks to our caller for calling in. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. Stay dry. Ed's up next. I am AdamTheComputerGuy.com.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. For legendary comedian Pat Cooper.
Listen to me. That's if your friends want to buy that book, and I ain't making a dime on it, I tell you that. I don't give a damn about the money. Let them go to Amazon. It's a cheaper, and it's a great book because it's honest, and you're going to do a lot of laughing. And the only reason I wrote the book, because people who have no life are writing books, and they're boring. If you don't like my book, you'll say one thing. Boy, does he have a good book.
Thank you.
I love you and I thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Pat. Bye-bye.
First Lady of Comedy, Phyllis Diller.
Well, now, Phyllis, I saw you on Biography doing a ghost story. Do you believe in ghosts?
Well, for the money they gave me, I did temporarily.
That's the best answer I could have asked for. That's perfect. So the money was right.
Oh, boy, was it darling, and I just adored my ghost.
Legendary stand-up comedian Marty Allen.
Yeah, like physically, what can't you do now that maybe you could do 20, 30 years?
I beg your pardon. Let's not get into that, Scott.
Is everything physically still okay?
As far as I know.
Have you ever had any kind of health problem in your life?
What are you, a doctor? I thought you wanted to interview me about Ernie Borgnine. Now you keep asking me all these questions. It's a good thing you're not here. You'd probably ask me to take off my shirt or something.
And legendary pro wrestler Captain Lou Albano.
Well, God bless you, and you're a gentleman and a scholar. You're often imitated but never duplicated, and I'd like to say you're a great guy. So whatever you're doing, keep doing.
Live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Hemmerly's Flowers and Gifts, address 615 East Center Street here in Marion. Telephone number 740-387-1163, website hemmerleysflowers.com, is a proud supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. Programming on WWGH Radio is supported by L&P Cake and Candy Shop, address 799 Bell Fountain Avenue, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-382-1991.
Harold's Router Service, 242 Jefferson Street here in Marion, telephone number 740-383-1841, is a proud supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.
Programming on WWGH Radio is supported by the Central Ohio Farmers Co-op for propane delivery, serving our residential and farming communities in the Central Ohio area since 1989. Telephone number 1-800 heat gas.
Vic's Inside and Outside Window Cleaning and Home Repair, telephone number 740-816-2481, residential and commercial, licensed, bonded, and insured, is a proud supporter of WWGH Radio.
Schrader Computer is a proud supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Telephone number 740-251-9335. Web address www.schradercomputer.com. Address 685 Delaware Avenue, Suite 116.
The Marion Center Mall is now hiring office help part-time.
This is George Casotis, and you are listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Find us on Facebook by searching WWGH Marion, Ohio 107.1 FM and clicking like for exclusive content.
Meadows Lawn Care and Landscaping is a proud supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-262-5638. Email meadowslawncare43302@gmail.com. Creating unique environments. Facebook, Meadows Lawn Care.
The Marion Towers Apartments are a supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Address 400 Delaware Avenue. Phone number 740-387-9050. It's now time for the obituary report on WWGH Radio.
Catherine Leila Ferguson, age 92, of Marion, passed away at the Presidential Center on Wednesday, March 1st. She is survived by her husband, Robert, two sons, Mark and David, daughter, Carola Lynn, brother, Robert Neal, sister-in-law, Elsie, nephew, Terry, eight grandchildren, seven great-grandchildren. Friends and family can come to honor Catherine's life on Tuesday, March 7th at 10 a.m. until noon at the Boyd Bourne Funeral Home. A graveside service will follow at the Marion Cemetery. In lieu of flowers, the family has requested donations be made to the Marion Rotary Club and or the Marion Public Library. You may leave an online condolence at BoydBourneFuneralHome.com. Jack Darrell White, age 67, of Marion, passed away on Saturday, March 4th at Marion General Hospital. He is survived by his wife, Fairy, sons Charles and Jeremiah, stepdaughter Rebecca, brother James, sister Patsy, and a host of grandchildren, nieces, nephews, great-nieces, and great-nephews. Visitation will be on Monday, March 6th from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Boyd Bourne Funeral Home. Services will be held Tuesday, March 7th at 1 p.m. at Grace Baptist Church, 1560 Marion Marysville Road in Marion. Burial will follow at Grand Prairie Cemetery. Memorial contributions can be made to Grace Baptist Church. You may leave an online condolence at BoydBourneFuneralHome.com for Jack Darrell White of Marion. Linda K. DiPolo, age 76, of Edison and formerly of Mount Vernon, passed away Thursday evening, March 2nd, at Morrow Manor Nursing Center in Chesterville. She survived by her daughter, Kimberly, two sons, Antonio and Dominic, and six grandchildren. Her family will greet friends from 3 to 5 p.m. on Friday, March 10th,